This episode is brought to you by Baron Fig. Find out more at mofonepodcast.com/Baron Fig.
This is Jared Mariyama, and you're listening to the Master of One podcast. You can find me at jmariyama.com.
Welcome to another episode of the Master of One podcast, the podcast that once got voted most photogenic in a mall beauty pageant. Part one this week, we talk about Bowmasters, Kingdom of Cute, Phantasmagorias, and Adventure Time. I'm Andrew, your Master of Art and Design.
I'm Patrick, your Master of Television and Film.
And I'm Luke, your Master of Toys and Games.
So set your phasers to cute, because it's time to strut our stuff.
But still kill it.
Baron Fig continues their trend of creating quality products by the community and for the community with their new minimal backpack, messenger bag, and tote bag. Adding to their lineup of tools for thinkers, these bags each feature innovative design and the same quality construction you've come to expect from their notebooks and writing tools. The Kickstarter, complete with exclusive items only available through the campaign, is live now, so go pick up yours today. We like to kick every episode off by going around the table, which is where we talk about something new, fun, and noteworthy about our weeks. Luke, you're wearing a Cavs hat. Why don't you tell us about your week?
Okay.
Obviously, garbage.
What? What?
I'm just
Patrick's
kidding.
Patrick's wearing
no
a t-shirt
reason.
That says it's got a picture of LeBron James with a circle and a slash through it.
I've Whatever, never even heard man. Of the band The Cavs. So.
Yeah, it's fine. You wouldn't like him anyway.
He's more of a biceps guy.
I get it. It's hilarious. It's hilarious. Okay, so you. This week, there's really not much going on. But I found two awesome things that you all might be interested in. Does anybody remember the rapper John Rubin or Don yeah. Rubio or Johnny Rubonic, whatever?
The guy from the singing show?
No.
No. Yeah, I do. He was a white rapper.
He's a white rapper. He is back. He has a short film and a couple videos to promote his new album coming out called Rubonic. If you go to YouTube, search for the user Johnny Rubonic, JohnnyRubonic. You can find his stuff, and his music is good, man. He's always been like he started off as like a battle rapper, doing like radio battle raps, and then caught traction. Was like in the Christian music scene for a long time, and then kind of went away to do his own thing. Started getting into making movies and stuff like that. But now he's back with a new album, and it's good. It's mature. It's the beats are different. I mean, it's still hip hop. It's still rap. But the music is, and he's always been a guy that's more focused on like. All his beats can be played like he travels with a band. He always traveled with a band and had live musicians on stage. But this even more lends itself to it. But the visuals that he has been able to get with this Nathan Corona, Dust Brand Films, he's been working with him on the short film he did that's kind of like teases some different cuts from the album and then two music videos that he's released. They're all kind of in the same theme. And, man, the visuals are great and the audio is awesome. So check that out if you know who that is or if you just like hip-hop, it's good. And then
he's hoping to spread it like the bubonic plague.
Okay.
I've been waiting to say that since you said bubonic.
Okay, great. I'm glad it worked out for you. The second thing is,
I still think that was strong.
This documentary, called The Wizard Oz, put out, by Animal, which is a, like a studio out based out of Pennsylvania. They did Danny Yord produced and directed it. He's the same guy who worked on Blood Brothers, which is another documentary from a couple years ago about a guy that works with children. I can't remember where it's in another country, but it's won all kind of indie awards. A lot of the same crew are on this one. It's about this guy named Oberon Zell Ravenheart, who is known as Oz. He's a self-described wizard who created a life for himself, truly stranger than fiction. And it's just this, it's like 23 minutes about this guy who started off kind of like in the hippie like phase and got into all this like kind of like pagan religion stuff, and at one time was like breeding unicorns, which was like goats with horns on their head, like actual real horns. They were in the Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus. And he's done just kind of all kinds of crazy stuff. And it just is the story of this guy, and you get a little glimpse into his life and what he's doing and what he has done. And it's just one of those. First of all, it's great. Like, it's shot well, it's edited well, the soundtrack is great, the production value is just top notch. Animal always kills it. John Pope is a cinematographer, and he does great stuff. But this guy's story is just, it's nothing like totally make you think differently about anything, but it's just this glimpse, the 23-minute glimpse, and just a really interesting character. And it's worth a watch. You can find it on Vimeo right now. It's called The Wizard Oz. It came out 2 weeks ago.
Just seeing the openings, like there's like a screen cap of just the guy's face like leaning in.
Yeah.
That's enough to make me want to watch
it. Oh, dude, it's just great.
Just that one image, yeah.
I will say, I mean, there is some language in it. There's some like nudity in it because it's covers from like the hippie movement and has some like old home movie like kind of style footage. So if that stuff offends you, just be warned. But man, it's the visuals are great, and it's a really cool peek into a cool character. So those are my two things for the week.
As long as it's just male nudity, I'm fine with it.
Okay. It's not.
I can deal with honestly, hot dogs.
He prefers it, honestly. Okay. So.
I mean, I think speaking of hot dogs, the latest – I'm just taking it. I think Andrew and I were going to have a bit of a discussion, Luke, if you just want to leave. Okay. The latest episode of Silicon Valley has just come out 2 days ago, and there's an app that they talk about it.
Don't spoil it because I haven't seen it yet.
Okay. So – I don't know how to – can I say the name of it? You already know that – you saw last week. You know that they're working on – like Jin Yang had an idea, the Shazam for food.
Well, he didn't have that idea.
You're right.
Oh, well, but it was birthed out of the octopus menu thing, and then he said the idea in the meeting. And okay, that's fine. So we actually got the name of the app this week. And the app – I won't even say it. You're welcome.
No, they said it in the last week's episode. Oh, they called it Seafood.
Yeah, seafood.
Like S-E-E-Food. Yeah.
It's the name of the company, right?
The app is available in the App Store. So if you want to look it up, it's been trending all day. It was top of Product Hunt today, and it's I love it. It's hilarious. So, but we were talking before that we started recording. The two shows that I'm following right now are Veep and Silicon Valley, because we're still waiting on Game of Thrones. We're still waiting on House of Cards. We're still waiting on whereas the rest of development season 5. That's going to be a little bit longer wait. But so these are the two big shows right now that I'm watching, and I'm starting to struggle a bit with Veep, because Veep seems like very densely packed, quick, crude humor, but it's a bit overwhelming because there's so much of it. Whereas it seems like Silicon Valley, whatever, has actually maybe calmed down a little bit and is much more focused on a like telling a very coherent story, like a very honed in story, like at least the arc for this season. So I've actually been enjoying Silicon Valley more this season than the past two seasons. And I'm finding myself kind of Veep is becoming more and more just background noise for me. So Andrew, I was curious, and Luke too, if you're watching both shows, is that your experience? Do you feel differently? Has Veep been amazing for you this season?
So I haven't been watching Veep. Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, so I've been watching both. I absolutely agree with the sentiment about Silicon Valley. I do agree in the sense that it's a very that Veep is just it is probably the most irreverent show I've ever watched. But I don't agree that it's losing traction. I still like the story arc where it's going. But I do feel like they are just saying like there is a bit of a shock factor to it that I think isn't necessary to capture people's attention. That being said, I still laugh every time they say it. So, yeah.
Silicon Valley is great, though. I've been watching that, and you said you didn't, and you are enjoying it more than the last two seasons. You think? I would say I can see how it's shifted. It's not as crazy as the past seasons, but I don't know if I would say better. It's just different.
It's one of those things where there was this period of time where kind of power was changing hands just so quickly and frequently that it was a bit disorienting.
Okay.
And it's I kind of enjoy it more where they've settled into, like, for instance, in the first season, or I would say even actually more so second season, or at least the first half of the second season, they're really settled into like only focusing on this one product. And yeah, we get more of just their interactions, but like that big piece isn't changing. Like, we're not changing the CEO or the owner or ownership or shares, or we're focused on people locked in a room just having interaction with each other.
I think as this season progresses, I imagine we will start seeing more.
I'm sure
of that.
I'm sure it will get crazy. Okay, two more things because I don't have a lot of time. One is I did finally see the movie Don't Think Twice. With Julian Jacobs, Birbiglia, and then Keegan-Michael Key would be the big one that I think probably stands out in all the previews. But it's about a group, it's this like improv troupe, and they're in New York, and one of them kind of gets their big break, and then all of them are dealing with that. The feelings, whether it's good, like positive, it's tough, jealousy, whatever it is, they're just kind of all dealing with that. And they're dealing with the fact that they're all aging, and it's an improv troupe in New York. And so you have, you know, there's a sense of you have to grow up eventually. And hilarious film. Like, I wasn't sure, like, when it first starts, it almost feels like a bit of like a documentary, like maybe for the first few minutes, it kind of has that tone and that feel to everything. And then it starts shifting a little bit more. And I, you know, I wasn't sure how loose some of the dialogue was going to be, or the points that they were trying to make, or the scenes. And then it ends up being a very, very tight, well thought out, just kind of like hitting all the punches in the right spot. Great film. I loved it. I thought it was an amazing movie. I can't recommend it enough. It's called Don't Think Twice. It's been out for, I think, just under a year. And but it's on Netflix, so go check it out. And then you'll laugh and you'll cry. I'm sorry. And then the last thing, I'm going to just quickly tease this, only because we're getting towards the end of the Kickstarter. If I get art and design next week, I'll talk about this in detail. If not, you just need to do something because you've only got 9 days left. But in the same way they released the NASA graphic standards, like that big thick folder that like showed like, you know, all of the, this is how you handle the branding and this is how the mark is on like vehicles and signs and whatever, they're kickstarting one for the EPA right now. And it'll be the re-release of the 1977 EPA graphic standards system. And it's beautiful and awesome, and I love it. You should just go check it out. And if I get to talk about it next week, I'll talk about it more. Andrew,
yeah,
you can have it.
Okay, so for my around the table, a couple things have happened over the last couple weeks that I haven't shared, but I'm going to share one of them now. That was kind of a fun project that I got to be a part of. I got reached out to by a friend of mine named Paul, who has started this YouTube channel that's all for creatives, people who are like creative professionals. And it's like little mini tutorials as well as like interviews with creative professionals. And so I got the opportunity to be interviewed on this creative professional. It's called Conrad Know How. And if you want to watch the interview, it's like 20 minutes long. It's not long. But you can kind of hear the story of like my personal story of like the design transition of moving to be a professional creative and the story of the podcast. And there's lots of that kind of stuff kind of intertwined in it. But if you want to hear that, you can go to my Instagram page. It's on there in my bio. Just click the link and you can watch it. And then subscribe to that because it's a cool he's trying to do something cool. It's a little unique. It's a little different. And so if that tickles your fancy, go ahead and do that. But here's why that kind of re-engaged in my thoughts. I got a text from Paul and he said, just keep an eye out in your mailbox. I'm like, okay, whatever that means. And a couple days later, this shows up, this massive table book. Of Ninja Turtles Volume 1, the Ultimate Collection Volume 1. Sweet. So it walks you through. It's a hardbound edition of the first seven, original seven comic books. And in between each one, there is you see all of the artist and author notes. So like you see all of Kevin Eastman's notes and then all of Peter Laird's notes, and they're sectioned off like that. So it's really cool. I'm really excited to read through it. But he sent this to me as a thank you for being on the show. So anyway, check it out. Conrad Know How. It's like Knowho.
I listened to it, by the way. And I enjoyed it. There were a couple parts where you were asked a question. And he actually goes through and he edits everything very well. And you could just tell that he took the first word and the last word of probably 150. And I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, I think we talked for 45 minutes and he boiled it down to like 20, 21 or 22 or whatever it is. He did a good job with it. But yeah, check it out. It was fun. And then, you know, I live in San Antonio, so I get the privilege of being close to Austin where Mondo Gallery is. And you heard our episode a couple weeks ago. Patrick came. We did the press event stuff for the Mondo and Disney show, and it was great. Well, I got to go back this past weekend, and I took Cooper to see the show, and he loved it. It was super fun. He enjoyed it a lot. He thought that the sorcerer from the Sword and the Stone was. He's like, this looks like Zelda. Can you take my picture with it? Because there was a sword and that was it. That was why he was really excited about it. And, in going back, I was purchasing some stuff for, a couple of, podcast listeners, who don't have the opportunity of living out here. And, I picked up a piece and when I was purchasing it, like when I was swiping my card on the iPad, like the point of sale thing, it said the name of the piece. And I guess I can just say the name of the piece. I was buying the Matt Taylor Lion King, like regular piece, which is insanely beautiful. I was buying it and it said sold out next to it. And I was like, that's really weird because she didn't tell me it was sold out. And I saw that she was bagging everything. So I was like, okay, whatever. This is weird. Well, I got home and I looked at the number and the edition size is 400. And the number of print was 399. So potentially, I managed to get the last one of these because the way they do it sometimes is they like people can say what number they want. And so if someone really likes the number 26, they can request 26. And if Mondo has it, they try to accommodate.
Sure.
So it's possible someone went in, saw the edition size of 400 and said, I want 400. They pulled 400 and they got back down to $399 and I was able to get the last one. So, the prints have not gone live on online yet. That'll probably happen in the next week or two because the show just ended. I'll be interested to see if they even put any of the Lion Kings up. Cause if they do, then that means to me that they pull some, you know what I mean? They have some pulled aside just for the online purchase.
Sure.
So anyway,
those might be like 401 through 450 or something.
What? No, because it's the edition size is set.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So however it is they do it, I guess we'll find out. So if you see the Lion King regulars go up, then that means they had a couple pulled aside. But here's what I did learn in this whole process. If you see an edition size of 400 on a print from Mondo and it's been in a gallery show, not just an online release only, they don't have 400 of them. So that's why some of these prints can go in 5 seconds, because there could literally be five of them.
Right. And so someone feels like, oh, I have 400 sold out in 3 seconds and all these bots are doing this. And the reality is there are only five of them anyway.
It's possible that there's only five. So for you who got the potentially last Lion King piece, you know who you are. Congratulations. It's in the mail. It's on its way to you. So it was a cool experience to be able to.
And hope is not lost. Like if you're sitting here going, oh, I wanted that one, and the artist will get APs. So just go ahead and email your favorite artist and ask them when their APs are going to drop, and just let them know you want one. And typically with any edition like this, they print some extras just in case some come in damaged. That way they can fulfill the edition.
And that's what I was wondering, if that's what happened with this one too.
And so later in the year when Mondo will do their around Thanksgiving, they'll do their flat file sale. Thank you. Flat file sale. Some of these will pop up in that sale because those will be some of the extras they print in case there's a damage, like any are damaged in the edition. So,
yeah. So anyway, that was cool, and it was fun to be able to be a part of that. So that was it for my week. So that's it for the Around the Table. Up next, Master Categories.
Baron Fig has done it again. So this month, they are kicking off their new Kickstarter campaign for their latest tool for thinkers. They are releasing their minimal backpack, their messenger bag, and their tote bag. It is the world that their already amazing notebooks and pens can now live in. So they've taken these common pieces, like I think most of us, you know, use a backpack or a messenger bag, and they've just honestly just rethought them from the ground up in a similar way to their notebooks and pens, where they employ, you know, the minds of hundreds of people, find out what they love, what they use, and then iterate on that. They have talked to people all throughout the community. They've taken that feedback. They've melded that with their quality construction and their just love for making a good product. And they've produced from the ground up these amazing new pieces. So the backpack, much like the notebooks, is lay flat. It actually unzips completely. It has some hidden pockets. It has these, this is probably my favorite part, it has these side pockets where while it's still on your shoulder, you can just swivel it around, and you can access a side pocket to you know, put your phone in or your wallet, keys, things like that. They all will hold up to a 15-inch laptop. They also have the messenger bag. Again, it's the same type of construction, the cotton strap, they're canvas bags. It will also hold a laptop. It has some hidden pockets, so you can, kind of store things away. And then finally, the tote bag. And they've kind of changed the shape from the traditional tote bag because they want you to be able to hold a lot of stuff, but in the smallest design possible, something that's still manageable. And again, same quality construction, cotton straps, canvas material, really nice high quality hardware. So these pieces are all in the Kickstarter campaign. You can get them now. They do have early bird specials. You'll want to jump on those. And in addition to that, they have an exclusive product you can only get if you back the Kickstarter campaign, and that is the Light Bulb Squire. So they have items, they have bundles available, they have the early bird specials. Jump on now, pick yours up, go to mofonepodcast.com/bag to get yours today.
Every week we talk about our master categories, which is based on the tokens we drew the week before, which give us our categories, and then we pick our topics based on those randomly chosen categories.
True story.
Patrick, why don't you talk about yours?
That's right. So very exciting news, because I have a love affair with Jared Maruyama, I have been told, but he announced a very exciting thing today in the Slack channel, and I assume on his social media.
Yep.
But Jared Maruyama has a collaboration. So Jared, representing Wonderground Gallery, along with the Vinylmation series, they're releasing the Kingdom of Cute Blind Box series. And these are all small vinyl toys designed by Jared Maruyama, and they represent icons of Disney. And so some examples, I think one that stands out immediately to me would be the Dole Whip, for instance.
Sausage cups.
So actually, y'all need to help me with some of these because
the people mover?
I am pretty new to the Disney stuff. So what is the red icon that it looks like the people mover, but it's like.
So let me look because I don't have it up in front of me.
So because I see like corn dog, there's the Dole Whip, there's like the sword and stone, there's popcorn, there's teacups, there's the castle. But then it starts getting a little bit tougher.
All right. So there's if my internet could just load this page, it would be
mint julep. Great. Is the green.
OK, mint julep. That's
OK.
Right.
There's a bag of popcorn.
Yep.
Then there's Space Mountain. There's the sword and the stone.
Yep.
There's the teacup from the teacup ride. You said the people mover. I believe that's the sky ride, or it's a lantern. No, I think it's the sky ride, the original sky ride from Disneyland.
Gotcha.
It's no longer there, and neither is the one at Walt Disney World. It's gone. I believe they took it out of commission after somebody died.
Wait, so Space Mountain.
The only one I don't know is that gargoyle, unless that gargoyle is from like the Haunted Mansion or something.
Yeah, maybe.
So it has the feeling of Haunted Mansion, like that style, but I didn't know that one either. So, and the one that's Space Mountain, I got confused because I thought that was, what's the Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow or whatever it is?
Oh, you're thinking of Spaceship Earth.
That's what I thought it was initially. So there's my Disney noob.
That's not Spaceship Earth. You're talking about the Carousel of
Progress.
Progress. Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
That's what I was thinking it was. But
to be fair, though, all of those have the same theme.
Yeah, it's fine.
But yeah, so it looks like they release June 2nd, so we're not terribly far away. There's actually once they do release, you'll be able to find them on the Disney Store, and I'm sure within Wonderground. But they look awesome. In if you're not familiar with Jared Mariama's work, it'd be described as kawaii, I believe is the word, which is cute. And so all of these figures, again, these are classic icons, but they have like little smiles and small little dot eyes and kind of matching like rosy cheeks. And so they're just very fun, playful, bright colors, not fully pastels. They're a little bit more vibrant than a pastel, but it's somehow feels like it would be in the same family. And they're blind boxes, and there will be a chase. Yeah. Or at least, I don't know what the ratio is, but there'll at least be one that's not revealed yet. And no inside scoop, have no idea what it is, but very excited to find out. So can't wait to probably go in on a case with somebody and get some fun little toys to put on the desk.
I would describe it in this way. Quintessentially Disney, quintessentially Jared.
Yeah, right? But it's not your turn.
Okay.
So I would describe it as quintessentially Jared, but also quintessentially Disney. So, yeah, thank you. All right, Andrew, it's your turn.
It's the own germs. All right, so I got TV and film this week. And
Kingdom of Cute. Yep. I just want to make sure I really reiterate the name of it. It'll be in the show notes. Go ahead, Andrew.
And so because – so I started off to – I had a category in mind, or I had a topic in mind, and I started watching the show. And as I watched it, I realized I needed to actually counterbalance this show because it's very heavy with another one. So I'm actually going to bring two quick topics for this category. So one, I'll start with the heavier one, is Phantasmagorias. And that is a show that I stumbled across on HBO. It's put out by HBO Latin America. And it is, I believe, an 8-episode arc made up of 1 to 2 minute long episodes. So it's very short. You can watch it very quickly. And what caught my eye initially was the art style of it. So you guys have both now looked it up, right? You have seen
it. Yeah.
Okay. So it has a very, very contrasty, almost Frank Miller-y kind of look to it. It is computer animated. But it also kind of looks cell shaded in certain ways. It's kind of hard to describe. You just kind of have to see it. Everything is bright pink and black.
Can I give a weird description?
Yeah, absolutely.
Not for the texture, but the like structure of faces and stuff, if you've seen the line of toys from Course, it's like their toys come to life. It's like that type of like structure and flow to all the lines.
I can see that. And exaggeration.
Yeah. But then it has a lot of texture, which you wouldn't find. So yeah, but that's what it strikes me as.
Like very large hands, like very elongated neck and torso, like that kind of stuff. So it's kind of eerie to look at, you know, and I realize why now after having watched the show. The show is based on true tales, like true folk legends and stories that have happened in Latin America, in Brazil and Nicaragua and some of these places that are of the macabre kind of like a very dark kind of evil or gruesome kind of thing. So it illustrates these stories, you know, about murder and ghosts and demons and these kinds of things. And it illustrates them in such a way that it's really, they're really short stories. And it's being narrated by a main character. You never learn his name, but every story is narrated by this character. He's super creepy looking. He's always smoking. And you realize about halfway through the series, he's talking to you as a person, but then you realize halfway through the series, he's actually talking to this is a bit of a spoiler, but I don't think it's going to matter. He's talking to a person sitting in the basement with him who's tied up. And then he goes on to murder this person throughout the rest of the course of the series. So he lights him on fire.
Oh.
Yeah, it's incredibly dark. And I got into it, and I'm about, you know, four episodes in when this whole thing starts kind of unraveling. And Chandra's sitting there next to me, and she's just like, nope, nope. Why are you watching? Like, well, I committed to watching this thing now for my category. So I had to see it through to fruition. But and I like horror movies and things. I'm good with that kind of stuff. Even this stuff made me just a little uncomfortable with how it was being portrayed. So it kind of felt like if Saw was animated, maybe not quite that brutal, but it's pretty graphic. So anyway, if that's what you're into,
why is it such short? Like why? Okay, sorry. Why so many short episodes? Why not just a short?
Because they're eight different stories. So he's telling, so there's a kind of an arc of him, which you don't know at first, but there's this guy telling these stories about things that have happened, these true stories. He said, this story is true. And then he tells you where it happened and when it happened. And so it's all these little individual stories. Like one of the episodes is called The Weeping Woman. And it's about this lady who murders her own child, drowns her own child out of like despair and stuff. I think that one's like episode one. And so that's why there's so many episodes. So you can just kind of watch them. And then there's an overarching story that's happening kind of in the background of it.
Gotcha.
So they don't need to be long. Honestly, if they were drawn out anymore, they would be less captivating because they're very, you know, like folk stories. They're like, you know, around the campfire, they take 2 or 3 minutes to tell and then they're done.
Sure.
It's like that. So if you're into this kind of thing, check it out. The art style is amazing. I mean, I'll say that it's very, very compelling the way that they approach it. Yeah. It looks really, really great. Luke will never watch it, but it's cool to look at. So I'm going to shift gears from that to something way more fun and airy and something that Luke will be able to watch and not pee himself. And that's Adventure Time. So when we started this podcast, it was this whole concept, because you might be listening to me now and be going, Adventure Time is not new.
Nope.
You're right. But this whole podcast was created under the guise of new and noteworthy to us and what's new in the world to us. And I just recently, in the last week, have been turned on to Adventure Time. And I'm like three and a half seasons into it now. This show is incredibly fun. It's put out by Cartoon Network. I don't know if it's still going. Are they still producing episodes of it? You guys don't know.
I don't believe so.
So it might be done. The show may have kind of come to its conclusion, but it does have at least 9 seasons. There are 9 seasons that are out there.
I just love this. I love it because I hear about Adventure Time all the time. Like we see it in art prints and like in the culture, and so many of our friends have done Adventure Time pieces and galleries and all this kind of stuff, and we all know nothing about it.
Yeah. Well, and I'm like, okay with that.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I mean, you saying we know nothing about it implies that we know nothing about it, but we know, I mean, we know practically nothing about it. Like, you wouldn't claim to know anything about it, would you, Luke?
Well, I've heard, okay, so I have not watched it. I've watched episodes. That's not true. I've watched some episodes, but I wouldn't, like, I haven't watched seasons of it. But it's surprising. I mean, I don't want to steal your thunder. You talk, and then I'll say what
I'm
going to
say. Sure, I'll talk about it, and then you can, yeah, you can rebuttal. So there are at least 9 seasons of it. If it's still going on, great, then we'll get more. Oh, it actually says TV series 2010, and then it's open ended.
Well,
so
it says the 9th and final season
is currently
in the United States, April 21st, 2017. So it debuted in April. So it literally just debuted a few weeks ago.
Yeah,
so we are in the final season.
We're in the final season now. Great. So this is still relevant. Hey, look at this. You can. And you can watch this the finale together. The show is incredibly fun. So it's the main protagonist of the show is a human boy named Finn and his adoptive brother. And is his best friend, Jake. He's a yellow dog. He looks like a pug that's kind of been morphed a little bit. And they are the protectors of this land called Oo. And they go on these adventures. And it's incredibly fun. It's incredibly unique. And it harkens back to me. I guess it doesn't harken back because this other thing happened afterwards. But it's very similar to Over the Garden Wall in some of its uniqueness, the characters and things. Like there's a Princess Bubblegum, and there is the Ice King. And there are these characters that are all candy. They're just candy people. And the land or the land kind of is comprised of all these different kinds of princesses. But it's so fun. It's so different. Marceline is a main character who is a vampire, and she's like she's a teenager, and she's just very, like, what's that word? I'm like a very emo teenager, but she's a vampire. And it makes sense. So she kind of floats around and is always kind of too cool for school, that kind of deal. She plays guitar, and the animation is very fun. It's very different. Each episode kind of has its own unique flair to it. In terms of you're always being introduced to new characters, but then they will bring back old jokes and they will bring back old stories to tie the stories completely together. So each episode kind of lives on its own. In a way, it's like a sitcom in that way, but there is an overarching story that carries all the way through. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And again, the animation is fun. It's very colorful. Each episode is only 11 minutes long. It's on Hulu right now, at least. It's on Hulu, so all the seasons are on Hulu. There's like about 200 episodes or something. It's great. It's won 6 primetime Emmys. It's been nominated like 42 times for all sorts of different things. It's won 16 other awards. It's great. And I've heard about it forever and just had never picked it up. And I'm super glad that I did. I'm kind of addicted to it right now. I want to do some Adventure Time pieces. I want to have something on my wall that is Adventure Time because, I've just kind of fallen in love with these characters. So
their toys are fantastic that they put out too. Like,
yeah, they are. You can't buy them at Toys R Us anymore.
Well, no, that was like years ago.
I know that. I went and I'm like, oh, I'm into this now. And I went and I looked and I'm like, hey, where do you guys still have your Adventure Time toys? They're like, oh no, we stopped carrying those. I'm like, freaking.
Okay. No, so like from what I saw and when talking to other people that watch the show, it has a lot of like adult themes is not the right term, but like it's more
it's not for kids.
Right. Kids can watch it, but there's other things that kids don't catch.
Right.
And like the whole world, I don't know if this is a spoiler or whatever, it takes place like post apocalyptic. Like there's a nuclear, it's all nuclear fallout.
Yes. Yeah. It's all called something else though. Like everything has its own kind of fun name.
But like the story of the world. It's like everything blew up and now this is the world we live
in. That's why they make it so. That's why they're so clear about saying that he is a human.
Right.
The opening tag says Jake the dog and Finn the human.
Have y'all seen Binging with Babish?
There's not many humans in this post-apocalyptic world.
Right.
They're mostly monsters and creatures and right. all sorts of fun things. What, Patrick?
Have you seen Binging with Babish?
No.
No.
There's this YouTube show where this guy, he takes food that people talk about in like TV shows, and then he makes the food, and some of it can be like fake. Apparently there's an episode of Adventure Time where they make like the perfect sandwich, and it like it's all this stuff to like the essence or like the soul of a lobster to like a tear, and like it's all this kind of stuff, and he makes the perfect sandwich on the YouTube show. It's just that's awesome. Like my only introduction to Adventure Time is watching an episode of Binging with Babish. But anyway.
I will say this, it's a slow burn. It took me about a third of the way through the first season. Like Cooper had started watching, he stumbled across it and started watching it, and it was in the background, and I was like, whatever. And it took about, five episodes. And then I caught one joke while I was drawing, and I caught it, and I'm like, oh, that was funny. And then I was hooked after that. It's incredibly cleverly written. And you're right, Luke, kids can watch it and they can enjoy some of the stuff of it, but then, so go watch Adventure Time. If you like it, then do it. There's an endorsement. I mean, it has my full endorsement. If you have a 6-year-old, maybe don't let them
what
watch
has
it.
Your partial endorsement?
Phantasmagoria. Partial
okay.
endorsement.
Okay. That's fair.
No, that's good. I think that's a good mix.
Yeah. All right. Luke, why don't you take us home, brother? I don't know why they did that.
Okay.
That was
okay.
weird.
you did it. I had art and design, so I'm going to talk about a game. Yeah, of course, because that's my life of art and design.
Why don't you talk about a desk or something more?
Exactly, right? Okay, so I started playing this game, and the game is fun. I'll say that. It's called Bowmasters. It's by Playgendary. They have a couple other games in the App Store or Google Play Store. I think you can play their games online. But anyway, we're talking about Bowmasters. Bowmasters is basically lemmings or worms. It's that same idea where one person's on one side of the map, other person's on the other side, and you launch things to try and hit the other person. The cool thing about this game is it is the design and the style of it is very simple. It's all like geometric shapes, and like all the characters are made from like very simple designs layered, and it's super colorful, it's vibrant, it's really saturated, and it's all a play on like pop culture people that you've seen. So like the first character you start out with is like an archer, it's like Robin Hood, and then you can get like you can get all kinds of stuff, like a robot. There is this guy that looks like Star-Lord called Space King that he throws a plasma grenade. There's a gorilla that throws a barrel like Donkey Kong. There is a is kind of like Norse kind of character that throws a hammer. You can guess who that is. There is like this guy called Anonymous. So it looks like the Anonymous character. Oh, I can't. It's not going to work because of the webcam.
Yeah, I imagine he's got the white face.
Yeah, but he throws like this poster, this like picket sign. There's a guy that looks like Gene Simmons who throws an axe guitar. I mean, there's just all kinds of really fun character designs. And the cool part is like when you hit people, like, you're actually hurting these characters. So like part of their skin will fall off and show their rib cage. Once you get down the health bar down and like knock somebody out, you have one more shot for like a fatality. And every character has a different special, like at the end where like if you throw the Star-Lord grenade, it like, blows the character up. There's like a Loki one. You throw it and like freezes the person, and then they shatter. And there's all kinds of like just really fun character design, and the game is super simple. There's a version with ads, and there's a version you can pay for to remove the ads. I ultimately decided to buy it because the ads were just annoying. But the game is like there's just online PvP. You can play other people. You can play against the computer. There's a thing called Bird Hunt, where you just fire up at these birds that go past and get coins. And the more coins you get, the more characters you can unlock. And then there's like it's one of those things where it keeps you coming back every day. You can open a daily chest and only get insert characters through
the daily chest. Yeah, like Candy Crush.
Yeah, exactly. But then there's also like tournaments and stuff if you want to play more. You can invite a friend and play just peer-to-peer on a local network. It's super simple, but the design is really fun, and it's a cool take on like – it's like hilariously gory the way that you like hit people and make them explode. It's really fun. But it looks great. It's like it's such simple, just simple styling and very. I don't know how to say it. It's very like it seems. There's not a lot of like fine details, but there's a lot going on. I guess is the way to say it.
Are you playing against someone else, or is it just you?
Yeah. Well, there's one person on one side of the screen, one person on the other side, the map is larger than the phone screen, so you actually don't see the person. You have to kind of, gauge your angle and trajectory and your power.
But is it But is it like player versus player? Is it player versus environment? Like, what is it?
Well, like I just said, it's PvP or local peer to peer or versus computer. There's all kinds of different modes you can do. So, but yeah, it's. But more than anything, what drew me to it was. Just the design of it. It looks really cool. So that's awesome.
Well, if that's it for that, then that means that's it for the master categories. And that means that's it for this episode. You are going to want to make sure you tune in on Friday. We have an incredible guest and a cool collaboration that we're excited to talk about. So tune in on Friday. Go ahead and subscribe now. Go to iTunes or Stitcher and subscribe now so you don't miss that episode. I promise you, you want to hear that and be a part of it. Speaking of that, go to mofonepodcast.com to find show notes and links to all the stuff we talked about in this episode. We talked about a lot of really great stuff. Go check it out. If we talked about a game, pick it up. If we talked about a YouTube episode, watch that. Talked about a show, go watch that. Some of them maybe watch with a little bit more discretion than others. That's fine.
Let us know what you think too. That's the big thing.
Yeah, we want to know what you think.
If we're hitting you, if you like the stuff we're talking about. So
yeah. So you can do that by we'll just go ahead and tell you how you can do that. You can tell us about that stuff, on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Just go to M of One Podcast. That is us. Connect with us throughout the week. Another way to connect with us throughout the week is through our Slack channel. Just go to mofonepodcast.com/Slack. And, we have about 200 people in there every day, who are constantly talking, sharing ideas, problem solving together, talking about things, sharing their work. And it's just a great community. So join that community there and talk to us. We want more friends. Friends are great. And then Patrick, is there anything that I'm missing? Patreon. If you want to support the show, financially and help us continue to do what we do, go to patreon.com/mofonepodcast. You can become a patron for as little as $1 or get on our blooper level for as little as $5. And I can promise you that even after 3 years of doing this, there are still bloopers.
Yeah. I mean,
haven't perfected it yet.
What it all comes down to is whether it's iTunes or Patreon or it's social media, Slack, the best way you can support the show is to interact with us.
Yeah, engage.
So just engage, talk, chat, meet the community, tell others, like just engage. It's the best thing you can do.
Yeah. And, speaking of engagement, we have a handful of our, artist coloring books, left. And if you want to be a part of that, get one of these coloring books and color in some of these people's amazing artwork and start sharing that stuff. We want
to
see.
I think people are scared to like mess up their books or something.
Yeah, I think so. I think people get the book and they realize, oh, this thing is actually way nicer than I anticipated. Because literally every person we've talked to has said that. it's slightly insulting when someone's
like, we should have kind of made a crappier book. That way people would have actually colored in it. I want people to color in the book. And if you have been, post a picture. Let's see some pictures, guys.
Tag that stuff. Other than that, I feel it.
We'll talk about it next week. Just go ahead.
Yeah, we will. Other than that, we will. I think we'll just tell you about our personal social medias. Luke, you have one.
I do.
Patrick has one too.
Yeah, I've got one.
Awesome, and I have one too. So we're gonna get out of here. I'm Andrew.
I'm Patrick.
I'm Luke.
Peace out.
Bye.
Hold on to your butts.
Feeling awkward, working on posture. Shoulders back, stand a little taller. Wanna make a move though, it takes two, so looking for approval, I play cool though. You're all I got to lose, like we're the only ones in the room. The status quo, the social cues, all the things we're supposed to do. Not one to flirt, had to learn what it means to holler. Don't need to waste time weighing options, thinking what the next girl has to offer. You see her falling, but has she fallen for me? Cause everybody wanna be the one that she loves. I could be the one fortunate enough to say she's falling. Yeah, she's falling for me. Everybody, everybody, I see you.
I'm recording right now. This is my voice too. Listen to me as I clap for you. Hoping that these sparks fly.
My God, what a wonderful gift. Beautiful, Patrick. Substance doesn't interfere with style.
You got both that comes natural. Without trying, you think you can record? I can record better. When it's cold outside, I like to wear this sweater.
I love that the pause you took was you trying to figure that rhyme out. I know.
You're welcome.
All right.
Cause everybody wanna be the one that she loves. I could be the